You're listening to the Thomas Talks Podcast.
Welcome to Thomas Talks Podcast, where we talk about anything and everything school buses. I'm your host, Tom Zelke from Daimler Trucks North America. Happy to be with you today. And joining me, Mr. Jed Ruth, Vice President of Sales, Service, and Marketing for Thomas Built Buses, and Mr. Mark Childers, Powertrain and Technology Sales Manager at Thomas Built Buses. On today's podcast, we'll be talking about how clean, newer diesel engines are compared to older engines and alternative fuels. So let's dive right in. In terms of emissions out the tailpipe, can you explain a bit more about how new clean diesel school buses compare to other fuel types?
Yeah, Tom, I'll take that and start off, and then Jed, feel free to jump in and something if you see and hear anything there. So let's talk about fuel types. When we think about clean diesel fuel, fuel has evolved over the last 10 to 15 years itself. So, fuel has, today we see a low sulfur fuel, and itself, when you compare it, it's had its own transformations. And part of that transformation has had some challenges to the emission side of it as well. So when the emissions came in 1994, fuel probably had the highest what we call nitric oxide levels in 1994. And over that time frame, diesel has cleaned itself up with the encouragement of administrations over the years in terms of EPA emissions. And so today, when you see nitric oxide, particularly in the diesel side, it's down to 0.2. That's almost an 83% decrease in the levels of nitric oxides in diesel fuel itself. So that's kind of the history of fuel, Tom. I think it's important for our audience to kind of reconnect on that whole transition of fuel over the last 10 to 15 years. And then now if you compare that fuel to what's out there in the school bus industry today, so you typically have our clean diesel fuels, you have propane, CNG, and gasoline. All of those fuels have various types of chemistry and matrix that will deliver different types of emissions. And so each one has unique characteristics in terms of the types of emissions that come from a fossil burning engine based on that fuel type. And so that's kind of where we are today on the fuel in terms of a little bit of history on it. When you start thinking around how do you compare fuels, it's kind of like looking at a prism. You can take a prism and you can kind of turn it a different way and get a different look. And so I think it's very similar with fuel types. So you can look at the various types of fuels. And when you start thinking about those in terms of emissions and how clean they are, that's another way to look at these fuels. And maybe we'll talk about that as well.
Yeah, so I think prior to 2007, when the EPA really started being stringent on diesel emissions, where diesel really had a problem was with nitrous oxide and particulate matter. And that's what those first diesel emissions laws kind of hit. 2007 hit particulate matter, 2010 hit both. And that's the two things that people pay attention to. And frankly, diesel is still, to Mark's point about prisms, diesel is still a little bit worse than its counterparts, although they're really, really divergent. I mean, so, from the standard is 0.2 grams for nitrous oxide or nitrogen oxide, and like a Detroit diesel exceeds that. So it's better than that. Exceeds is a bad word in this context. It's 0.08. So better and better and better. That's a little worse than gasoline, a little worse than propane, but there are more emissions out there than just those two. And in the other types of emissions, diesel's actually better. So when you look at carbon monoxide or non-methane hydrocarbon, diesel is better than other fuel types, sometimes significantly better, especially when it comes to carbon monoxide. And then the EPA doesn't monitor CO2, carbon dioxide, but again, that's an area where diesel excels. So that you have to look at the whole prism, in Mark's words, to really understand the picture.
And Tom, Jed brings up a very good point. When you start talking around emissions and you talk about differentiators between fuel types, there are kind of two buckets you have to look at. One is what Jed mentioned earlier, and that is the EPA and what we have to certify a diesel engine to today. And there are you know, really four emission standards that we have to look at, is, you know, nitrous oxide, particulate matter, carbon monoxide, and then non-methane hydrocarbons. Those are the four that we have to meet on a certification. And then, as Jed said, there's also the CO2 side, which comes into when you talk about greenhouse gas. So that's another added emissions that we look at with diesel and other types of fuels. So it's important for our audience to kind of think, to be, you know, familiar with those types of fuels and how they come into where we talk about which fuel is cleaner, and if we talk comparisons.
So let me talk about a comparison, because I understand the fuel's cleaner, but what about the newer diesel engines? Are they doing a better job of reducing emissions as well?
It was a multiple stage process. So I was involved way back in 1998 in some of the first, you know, diesel changes, and the EPA kind of tiered it. They said, we want to get to this level by this point in time. And part of that, like Mark said, was the fuel. In 2007, we had this big change in diesel fuel itself. But yeah, the diesel engines have become increasingly cleaner. There was a big step in 2007. There was a big step in 2010. And then, but over the years, really every 2 or 3 years, the EPA has had yet another change. Maybe it deals with how we monitor the diesel engines. Maybe it gets the diesel engines to get another level of emission standards. But the diesel engines themselves have changed dramatically from earlier standards. And what today, it's just a sea change of difference. I mean, one diesel bus today puts, or I could, guess I could say it the other way, 60 diesel buses today put out about the same emission level as one did in the 90s. So just a huge, huge difference. And I think the other point that maybe our listeners don't know, and it depends on where you are, buses are different in every state. But if you look at that big, big change, 2010 was the year. And so we're now to that point 11 years later where there are some states whose fleet either has already turned over and is 100% clean diesel, or is about to turn over, or is at least significantly, you know, more than half of the units turned over. So school buses every year that you replace those pre-2010s, you can see just the size of the change in emissions. They just get the school buses as a fleet, as a national fleet, cleaner and cleaner and cleaner every year.
Yeah, and I think too, Tom, to add to Jed's point about cleaner engines, diesel engines doing a better job. You know, we're part of, you know, we're very proud to be a part of the Detroit family. And with the Detroit family of engines, the introductions and the technology that they brought into the diesel manufacturing process has also, not just with the fuel, but also as a response to that fuel, Detroit and other engine manufacturers have had to respond to that. And you know, challenge themselves to meet these emission standards from the EPA. They've had to change things, like Detroit has introduced variable cam phasing in the DD5 and the DD8 to improve, you know, emissions. You know, they've increased, you know, temperatures at which we burn diesel in the engine to improve that cleaner burn on the engine so that you get reduced emissions. So there are multiple things in terms of just the engine technology itself that has developed in the last 5 years that is improving the performance of diesel engines. And then as we improve the performance of those diesel engines, we're also improving, you know, the emissions that are coming from those engines as well. So so they're very proud to be a part of that Detroit family and have that you know, resource for us to offer our customers.
Great. Thanks for that answer, Mark and Jed. But, you know, why should transportation directors care about other emissions? Isn't NOx the only emission to worry about?
It's certainly the one that's been publicized due to just the way the regulations are written. And obviously there was a target, and obviously pre-2007, there was a really high number that was out there for diesel engines. But I mean, the answer is no, that there are, we, like we said before, there are four that are tracked that matter. And all those matter to our environment. They matter to greenhouse gas and the effect that it has. And then there's that other one out there, that other regulation, the greenhouse gas regulation, where carbon dioxide matters. So it's more than one thing. It's a combination of factors. And I think, yeah, you've got to care about all of them.
So which fuel/engine type will fare best with upcoming emission regulations?
Well, this is the answer. I'm sure Mark will add on to this. It's electric, right? Electric's the one that's going to be best, but there's a great big but that comes with that. And that is, it is a colossal undertaking to switch a fleet to EV. And some fleets are much more ready and much more able to do that than other fleets, due to how, you know, anything from how they store the buses to what the electric rates are in their district. So I think that's coming. We all know that's coming. And certainly it looks like there may be some funds out there that helps that come, but it's not going to be something somebody can just switch over to overnight. And nobody wants to ever totally change a fleet in 1 year, that because that gives you a nightmare later. So I think what people need to pay attention to is what gets us there. And so diesel, we think, is the bridge that gets us there, but because it is clean, it is green, especially compared to what it was, and compared in many ways to other fuels. And then you don't have to make two changes. So instead of saying, I'm going to go to diesel, I'm going to switch part of my fleet, excuse me, to another fuel type, and then do it again to EV, stay in the course and waiting until the EV time is right for you makes for a much more simple transition.
Yeah.
And Mark, yeah. I'm sure you've got something to add to that.
Yeah.
Experience you've had.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And we do see that the diesel engine is that bridge, as Jed said, to get to a very, you know, to get to the EV market space for school buses, because school buses do have a duty cycle that's very beneficial for EV. But with the diesel engine, you know, to get there, and Jed mentioned this earlier about what other emissions should we worry about as a transportation director and things like that. And carbon dioxide is one that is overlooked significantly in that conversation. And if you want to be, have a total macro view of emissions, you cannot overlook carbon dioxide when you compare fuels. Because if you look at, diesel today, clean diesel today, and you compare it to, say, other alternative fuels that are out there, you know, you could see almost a 50 to 65% reduction in carbon dioxide in the emission side. So there is significant benefit to the diesel side as well. That gets us over to, as Jed mentioned, is kind of getting to the electric vehicle side of the, you know, the future. And so I think, as Jed said, you know, there's going to be a period of transition from where we are today to where we get to in the future for electric vehicle adoption into the school bus industry. I will tell you that when we talk to customers about that transition, there are lots of questions, and in some cases, you know, an electric school bus can't perform in certain routes that a customer might need. So there are probably going to be, in the future, there's going to be a segment of a transportation fleet that's going to have to remain in the clean diesel fuel, because they need to do other things with that vehicle to meet their operational needs. So I think there's going to be a lot of transition. You know, it's lots of good conversations with our customers around how do you get from, how do you move over to that if that's your fuel choice in the future, and all the other things, as Jed mentioned, can align to get you into the electric school bus market.
Thanks, Mark, for that answer, Jed. You know, my last question here, and you sort of answered it, but maybe you can give me a scenario what this looks like. So we talked about the future, the bridging. But with clean diesel, I mean, how long is that bridge? What would you see as a typical response to a customer who wants to go EV or is thinking about EV, but they don't know what to do? What do you say about clean diesel and how long you take that to EV?
Well, I think you can just look out to see the kind of the diesel regulations that are coming. So there's significant diesel, you know, regulations in 24 and 27. And our suppliers are already looking at that. So, and that gets you out a decade of diesel just right now looking forward. And people, you know, new legislation typically doesn't go out further than that. So I don't think if you're really saying, hey, this EV thing, I don't see how that can work for me in this current situation. What am I going to do? You know, do I have to go away from diesel? You really don't. You're going to have choices for the foreseeable future for diesel. And it's going to keep getting cleaner. So the EPA keeps on giving mandates and engine manufacturers keep meeting them. There'll be changes. There'll be new technology. But there always is, and there will be for other fuels as well. They're not exempt from those regulations either. So I think if you are a customer, you should be totally comfortable that you've got a diesel solution for the rest of this decade into the next. It's not like you're running out of time to plan. There's going to be plenty of time to see what the future brings us in all the fuel spaces, including EV as well.
Yeah, Jed, I would just touch on that, what Jed said, that there is time. You know, everyone, there's a lot of conversation in the market today. There's lots of conversations around emissions changes coming up in 2024. And then obviously there's conversations going on with EV. But I think the big piece is what Jed touched on there is you have, as a transportation director and a customer, you have time to make that transition. Diesel is going to be here. Clean diesel is going to be here. Our products are going to be there to make sure that we provide a cost-effective clean diesel product for our customers into the future, into the next couple decades. And so we will continue that. And we certainly will help with those types of conversations around what does the next fuel, you know, what would the electric vehicle look like in the future? So, you know, clean diesel is foundation to our business today. It's foundation to our industry today. And we do see that it will see here for quite a long time as you potentially transition over to EV.
Gentlemen, thank you. And that concludes our podcast. We appreciate you being here today, and we look forward to the next Thomas Talks podcast. Thank you.